For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of truth in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that you are showing us your way. And as we yield ourselves to you, you are more and more leading us along the path that we should go. Heavenly Father, I ask that every person here have a hearing ear, open heart to hear in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. This morning we're looking at the pouring out of God's Spirit. And you'll notice that it's the pouring out of God's Spirit, a little s here. So it's not talking about the pouring out of God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost. We're going to show through the Scriptures that there is a pouring out of the Spirit of God, or from the Holy Ghost, and it's the pouring out of God's Spirit. And let's get an understanding of what this is all about. Praise the Lord. The pouring out of God's Spirit is, of course, full of the miraculous. However, it's directly related to spiritual understanding, something that's very, very important for us to see. So let's first of all look at Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. And I sense in the Spirit that I have to lay down quite a few principles so that we can have a very clear understanding of this whole area. So Proverbs 1, and we'll start from verse 5 and we'll go to verse 7 first of all. Proverbs 1, verses 5 to 7. It says here, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I want you to see a few things out of here. Verse 5 says, a wise man will hear. There is a determination within the wise man. I will hear and will increase learning. God does not want his people to be full of ignorance or have a lack of learning. He wants them to have the right learning. And so when we think about learning, we're talking about a particular type of learning, and it's learning in the Lord. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. If you're a person of understanding, you're going to be looking to or attaining to those wise counsels from the Lord. You're going to want to know what God has to say, not just to you individually, but to the church corporately and right across this planet indeed. And the Holy Ghost is speaking. He's speaking continually. He's called the Spirit of Truth, and he leads into all truth. He leads people. He guides us into all truth. And God's Word is, of course, the ultimate truth. Thy Word is truth, the Bible tells us. But you've got to have a determination within you that you're going to hear, you're going to increase in learning, and you're going to attain unto wise counsels. You can't be a person that just sits back and by osmosis, you learn a bit and you grow that way. God requires of his people there to be a diligence to what they are to be and how they are to go. And verse 6 once again uses the word understand. It says to understand a proverb and the interpretation. Notice it says the interpretation. So there is a correct interpretation of things. You can't just take a verse out of the Bible and twist it and say, well, that's the right interpretation. There's many that do that type of thing. Now, you've got to get an interpretation, the right interpretation from the Holy Ghost. The Bible talks about good doctrine, which implies that there's bad doctrine. It talks about winds of doctrine. Doctrine talking about teaching, which implies that there are doctrines which cause people to become unstable. Notice what it says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, this is not just talking about textbook type knowledge that you might get from a university. This is talking about spiritual knowledge, spiritually understanding. You know, you can be a person on the earth and understand nothing about the spiritual, but have all types of knowledge about various things. It might be in technology, it might be in how to look after people or approach people, all types of things like that. But if you deny the Lord, if you say in your heart there is no God, for example, well, that's a whole section of knowledge you've left out of your life, isn't it? And the Bible calls you a fool if you're in that category. We're not to be in that category at all, but we want the Lord involved in all of our life. And so the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's what that Proverbs 8 tells us. The fear of the Lord is a state of the heart. And if you don't have the fear of the Lord, the ground of your heart will not be prepared to receive the word of God properly. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So you can see that that type of knowledge that it's talking about is connected to the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of knowledge. So there's a lot of people who don't have the fear of the Lord because the Bible talks about choosing the fear of the Lord. There's a lot of people that don't choose the fear of the Lord, and because they don't choose the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of God starts to be kept away from them. They go into a darkness of thinking. And notice what it says in the second part of verse 7, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So once again, you think about that man that even if there's just a section in his life he's saying there is no God, you know, there's no God looking at me here. Or they might think, oh yes, there must be a God somewhere, somehow. They've got this airy-fairy type of view of the Lord. No. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord brings you to the truth of God, brings you to the right knowledge, because it's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise, it's in their hearts, there's this state of despising wisdom and instruction, despising wisdom and instruction. So if you go across now to verses 22 and 23 of the same chapter, 22 and 23 of Proverbs 1, it says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? So the question is, how long is this going to continue? How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? You know, there is a depth in the Lord that many people have not even scratched the surface of, so to speak. And scorners delight in their scorning. A scorner will scorn at things often they don't even understand. You know, you speak in tongues to you. You know, they're scoffing at something they know nothing about. And they delight in their scorning. Oh, you go to church, dear. Oh, they fleece the sheep there. Well, they're full of hypocrites there. You know, they're speaking out of a lack of knowledge. They're speaking out of foolishness. And fools hate knowledge. So if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, then the fools must be people that don't have the fear of the Lord. They don't have the fear of the Lord. They have not. If you go across to, just keep your finger back in that one, go across to verse 29, it says, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." So there are lots of people that hate knowledge, and it's related to them not choosing the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, I'm laying down this foundation because we're getting to, what does it mean that God is pouring out His Spirit? Does it mean that there's lots and lots of miracles happening? Well, there's going to be the miraculous. There's no doubt about that. And I think that there's a lot of people that, they think in terms of, oh, there's going to be people that are falling down in the Spirit. There's going to be healings left, right and centre. There's going to be this and that. You know, that can happen. There's no doubt about that. But, what's at the very beginning? What has to happen is an increase in spiritual knowledge. And I think right across the earth today, the church has to start to reject false knowledge, start to reject false things, and receive, by making a choice of the fear of the Lord, receive correct knowledge. No longer have this attitude of hating the correct knowledge. And so go back to verse 22. We'll read verse 22 and 23. "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" Here's the next part, is a real key for us to understanding about the pouring out of God's Spirit. "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." Okay, so what's it talking about here? "I will pour out my Spirit," little s there, "my Spirit unto you." Well, it's talking about God's Spirit, little s, being poured out unto people. But this is people that have the fear of the Lord, right? This is people that turn at God's reproof, because that's what it says there. "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." So there's, connected with the pouring out of God's Spirit, is the making known of God's words to us, or to the people that have the pouring out of God's Spirit. And that's a pouring out. Think of the word pour there. Pouring out. It comes out. And there's lots and lots of it. But you've got to be open. And I think at the moment there's many that are not open because they have not chosen the fear of the Lord. In fact, they don't even understand the fear of the Lord properly. But they've got to choose it so that they aren't in the category of hating knowledge. Because if as we read before, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of spiritual knowledge. So here we see, and I'll read it again in verse 23, "Turn you at my reproof." There is a reproof going out to, and we're in the Laodicean period of church history, to the Laodicean church saying, "Turn you at my reproof." You're not to be led away anymore by this fleshly behaviour, by this worldly lusts and worldly behaviour. Now you've got to understand that there is spiritual knowledge which is completely different from worldly type of knowledge. And don't get me wrong, knowledge as to how to put a car together, or how to put a building together, or how to look after people physically and mentally, that's fine. But if you leave the Lord out, there is a whole component which will bring you into darkness. And I think that's what's happening. So you even see good technology being used for evil purposes. You think of the technology used to commit abortions, for example. Good technology, evil things happening. Good technology surrounding what Hollywood has, but what are they doing? Using it for evil purposes and so on. So we know that when you hate knowledge, hates spiritual knowledge by not choosing the fear of the Lord, there's a couple of things that happen. God can't pour out his spirit on those type of people, can he? He can't make known his words, as it says there, I will make known my words unto you. And so they're going to be chopped out or left out of an understanding and a growth in God's knowledge, an increase in that learning. But of course a wise man will hear. That's us, isn't it? That should be us in that correct category. So if you go across to Colossians 1, and I pray that we are starting to understand what the pouring out of God's Spirit is all about. It's not just that there's going to be miraculous events. It's not just that there'll be, the gifts of the Spirit in operation, although that will be accompanied with it. It's got to be that there's the spiritual knowledge which will enable the church to rise up globally as one man to be able to evangelize this sinful world. And of course, ultimately, the church must be a word-washed type of church for the Lord Jesus to present himself with that glorious church. Colossians 1, we'll just look at a couple of verses here. Verse 9 and 10, because this talks about, once again, understanding and knowledge. You can see the word knowledge is used twice in just these two verses alone. Verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled, notice that word filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I think this is one of the big things that's going to happen when there is the pouring out of God's Spirit. And we see here that God will make known his words to people. We see here that we should be praying. We should be praying for those. And I've taken up prayer for people in Geelong. And I've said, Lord, you know who are part of your family, who are part of your flock. You know who they are that are truly born again in the various churches all around Geelong. And you can pray for them in the Spirit. This is one of the benefits of praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, because you don't know in your own limited understanding, but God knows and he can use you as you yield and pray for them. So you can pray for people that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, because that's certainly what's needed. That's certainly what's needed, because there's even people now despairing and saying, oh, look at our society, it's all going backwards and so on, and rejecting Christian things and getting worse and worse. And many seem to be despairing. But if you have spiritual knowledge, you'll understand that the Lord is building his church. He is preparing his church for a great evangelical thrust across this earth. He's preparing his people so that they can be instruments in his hands. Praise the Lord. And that's what he says in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So being able to walk worthy unto the Lord unto all pleasing is directly connected with being filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we have to be filled in that so that we can walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, God wants this for his people, and the pouring out of his Spirit is going to have this type of thing happening, that people are walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is the type of really miraculous things that are going to happen. Imagine a whole, imagine if a whole society had this type of thing happening. Well, you would know that there would be good things that would come out of that, because it's talking about being fruitful in every good work. Glory to God. If you have a look at Joel chapter 2, verses 27 to 32, and the book of Joel is predicting a major outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh. And he uses the same term that he uses in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, that we saw just before. So Joel chapter 2, verses 27 to 32. Starting from verse 27 of Joel 2. And this major outpouring is, of course, connected at a... In this context here, in Joel 2, he talks about that there would be an army from the north, and verse 20 says, "But I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive him into a land barren and desolate." So that's clearly referring to the Gog army that's going to, the Russian army that's going to invade with its allies into the land of Israel. And then God says in verse 27, "And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed." So notice the word know, knowledge coming. I see that this was in prophecy and this is what happened, and God stepped in, and there was a mighty destruction happening. And the Bible talks about in Ezekiel that the people would start, Israel, natural Israel, would start to turn and become Christians. Verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward," it's after that happens, "that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." So here we see a little bit of extra information about pouring out of God's Spirit upon all flesh. We didn't see the pouring out of God's Spirit upon all flesh in Proverbs 1, because the pouring out of God's Spirit is available, right? But here is a major activity that's going to happen upon all flesh just after the Gog invasion. "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." So notice when he says, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh," in verse 28, he uses the little s. So it's obviously referring to the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing that knowledge and the knowing of the Word of God, so that they can come into the knowledge of God that's necessary for things to be greatly done in the Lord. And notice it's also in verse 29, "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit," little s. So the pouring out of my Spirit, it's talking about pouring out from the Holy Ghost. It's talking about the spiritual working that's going to happen at this time. And we can see that very clearly when you go to the book of Acts. And we'll look at verses 1 to 5 of Acts chapter 2, first of all. Acts 2, 1 to 5. So in Acts 2, 1 to 5, we see that there is, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost comes, and he was the comforter that was sent. the promise of the Father. Jesus talked about him in the book of John and says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And we can see that there was, in this pouring out or being filled with the Holy Ghost, there was an expansion of them having the knowledge of God and talking about the wonderful works of God. Verses 11 and 12 says, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking, saying, these men are full of new wine. So something had changed with these people. They were filled with the Spirit. Something had changed. And so they were no longer just sitting in that upper room. They came down and there was something that had changed. And then Peter refers them to the Joel prophecy. And notice what he says in verse 16, and we'll go to verse 21. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So he's pointing, he's saying this is just like what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it can, verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit, capital S. So here we see the Holy Ghost has elaborated a bit more on the Joel prophecy. The Joel prophecy says, I'll pour out my Spirit, little s. And here he says, I will pour out of my Spirit, capital S. So you can see the difference there. Upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, capital S, and they shall prophesy. And I will show signs, show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there is a progression here. And in the last days, we see the great outpouring of, as God says, my Spirit, little s. And in this recounting of the prophecy, he says, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, capital S. So little s in Joel, capital S in Acts. So it's referring to, this is the source where the Bible is talking about, I'll pour out my Spirit. It's coming from the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And we know that the Spirit of God is also called the Spirit of Truth. And we saw in Proverbs 1 that he would make known the words of God to them. So here we see that there has to be an amplification of things happening in your born-again spirit. If you have experienced being filled with the Spirit, then you know that you haven't stayed the same, and you should be growing and have spiritual understanding growing as well, and being increased in the knowledge of God. So we see that there is a progression, and as we see that just before that great and notable day, verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. So even though that hasn't happened literally yet, we know there is a progression, and that we are in those days where God has, just like he said in the book of Acts, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He's pointing to this is what's happening, a pouring out of God's Spirit from the Holy Ghost. We see that there is this happening even today, and God is having a major pouring out upon all flesh of his Spirit in the future, after the Gog invasion particularly. We need to understand very clearly that God's words are crucial in this pouring out of the Spirit of God, of God's Spirit. If you have a look at John 6, verse 63, and this is what Jesus said in John 6, 63, something for us to take hold of, because God's word is not just any word. God's word is special, and he's put it into our hands, and he expects us as believers to have the fear of the Lord, and by having the fear of the Lord we can have his Spirit poured out in our lives, and by having that Spirit, the fear of the Lord, we can have the beginning of knowledge and knowledge increase in our life because we choose the fear of the Lord. So John 6, and looking at verse 63, John 6, 63, this is Jesus speaking, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." Notice he uses little s there. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Notice that. Let me say it again. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit," little s, spirit, "and they are life." They're going to do something. They're not just any word that you could get from, like, for example, an encyclopedia. These are words that are going to have a great impact on the heart that has chosen the fear of the Lord. As we have the fear of the Lord, there is that impact of God's words which are spirit and life, glory to God. And that life is going to cause us to be alive, connected to what God wants us to do in these last days. There's things that God is going to ask us to do which, you know, we can't be leaning to our own understanding about, but we have to see that he's giving us spiritual knowledge as we're increasing in wisdom, and in all wisdom, the Bible says, and understanding, spiritual understanding. So God is bringing his people into a much greater place, and this has to happen because, as I said before, there's so much of people going into this wrong areas and having a darkening of their minds and hearts. If you have a look at Proverbs 4, and look at verses 18 to 20 in Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, 18 to 20. So we're talking about the pouring out of God's Spirit, little s here, out of the Spirit of God, which is obviously the pouring out of God's Spirit, is connected to the Word of God and spiritual understanding and spiritual knowledge. So we're looking at Proverbs 4, starting from verse 18 of Proverbs 4. It says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. So there is the path of the just, there is the way of the wicked. There's no getting around that. And the path of the just is as the shining light. See, the just are those that have not just believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're walking along that path. Walking along that path, they've chosen the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of knowledge. They're going forward along that path, and the light of God's word is shining more and more. More and more out of them, more and more in their life, more and more so that they can do what God wants them to do. That's why he says in verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. That's the real key to us, not just us getting the victory, but indeed the whole church getting victory and increasing more and more. So remember I talked about fools hate knowledge. There's all types of that hatred of knowledge all around us in our society, and even in the churches there's a lot of hatred of spiritual knowledge. And I went through a couple of examples before. But as we see here, the Bible talks about the way of the wicked in verse 19 is as darkness. They know not of what they stumble. So there's a complete lack of knowledge there, isn't there? They know not at what they stumble. Complete lack of knowledge. So you can see that the pouring out of God's Spirit will be to enlighten people so that they do know and they do see and they start to understand spiritual things. And so that people who were in darkness have seen a great light. And this is what's got to happen. There has to be that great light seen. If you have a look at Isaiah 60, and you can see that this is the type of thing that's got to happen. And this is directly related to the pouring out of God's Spirit. Verses 1 and 2 in Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Well, we're seeing that now, and it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. See, that's what the way of the wicked has done. They know not at what they stumble. So the pouring out of God's Spirit upon all flesh, what's it going to do? But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So it's going to show them, this is what's the reality. This is what you need to know. Here's the glorious gospel. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't stay in darkness. You know? You can't hate knowledge. You've got to see the Lord Jesus Christ for who he really is. See him for who he really is. And there's much more we can say about that, but we see that even though darkness covers the earth, we don't say, the darkness is won. No, the Lord has his answer, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory, and that sounds like the glorious gospel, doesn't it? We know that his glory shall be seen upon thee, as it says there. Glory to God. So let's have a look, and we'll finish with this because I'll have to continue in this whole area. There's so much more to say. John 3, verses 16 to 21. So when you think about it now, you know, all right, there's darkness all around us, but the Lord has an answer. It's the pouring out of his Spirit as people choose the fear of the Lord, pouring out of His Spirit, makes God's word known to people. And that's the real crux and key of it. As God's words are made known to people, then they'll be operating correctly in spiritual things, such as the spiritual gifts, and operating correctly in spiritual things such as how to walk by faith and walk in pleasing the Lord and doing good works for Him and so on. So John 3, very well known section of scripture, but it tells us what the state of mankind is at the moment and what God's solution is. John 3, 16, and we'll go to verse 21. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world." That's the reality. Light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. What did we read in the book of Proverbs just before? Proverbs 4. "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." So they're loving darkness rather than light. And their deeds are evil because of that. We know that. We see that all around us. As I've said before, light has come into the world, but there's a lot of ignorance about that. Verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." So we know that there is an effect on the soul when people do evil, because we read recently the tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, according to Romans 2. So we know there's an effect on the soul. There's a darkening of the soul when people are doing evil. They're hating the light, and they don't come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. And verse 20 says, I'll read verse 19 and 20 again. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So verse 20 says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth..." What's truth? Word of God. "He that doeth truth cometh to the light." So as you are doing God's word, you're coming to the light continually. You are the just, and your path is shining more and more. "That his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." So this is what the pouring out of God's Spirit is all about. It's coming against that darkness. It's coming against that by bringing into the hearts of men light and getting rid of that darkness, so that there will be spiritual knowledge that can come in. God's words being made known to people. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the light of your word. We thank you, Lord, that light has come into the world. And we praise you, Lord, that we have acknowledged that light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for showing us individually as a church. Thank you, Lord. We ask that that be shown to people, your true flock right across Geelong, in the name of Jesus. That there be a moving away from spiritual darkness and a hating of proper knowledge, and a moving towards choosing the fear of the Lord. We ask, Lord, that there be a pouring out of your Spirit upon your people, even across this city in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our midst. Thank you, Lord, that you are stirring us up for good things. And I pray, Lord, that you continue with us and work with us and work in us, that your power works in us. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that.